Chapter 5. The Wai sector had a tradition of opposition to the Entun dynasty of Cleon I that had been ruling the empire for over two centuries. The opposition dated back to a time when the line of mayors of Wai had contributed members who had served as emperor. The Huayan dynasty had neither lasted long nor had it been conspicuously successful. But the people and rulers of Wai found it difficult to forget that they had once been, however imperfectly and temporarily, supreme. The brief period when Rachel, as the self-appointed mayor of Wai, had challenged the empire 18 years earlier, had added both to Wai's pride and to its frustration. All this made it reasonable that the small band of leading conspirators should feel as safe in Wai as they would feel anywhere on Trentor. Five of them sat around a table in a room in a run-down portion of the sector. The room was poorly furnished, but well shielded. In a chair, which by its marginal superiority and quality to the others, sat the man who might well be judged to be the leader. He had a thin face, a sallow complexion, and a wide mouth with lips so pale as to be nearly invisible. There was a touch of gray in his hair, but his eyes burned with an inextinguishable anger. He was staring at the man seated exactly opposite him, distinctly older and softer, his hair almost white, his plump cheeks tending to quiver when he spoke. The leader said sharply, "Well, it is quite apparent that you have done nothing. Explain that." The older man said, "I am an old Joranumite, Namarti. Why do I have to explain my actions?" Gambol Dean Namarti, once the right-hand man of Laskin Jojo Joranum, said, "There are many old Joranumites. Some are incompetent. Some are soft. Some have forgotten. Being an old Joranumite may mean no more than that one is an old fool." The older man sat back in his chair. "Are you calling me an old fool? Me, Kaspal Kaspalov? I was with Jojo when you had not yet joined the party, when you were a ragged nothing in search of a cause." "I am not calling you a fool," said Namarti sharply. "I say simply that some old Joranumites are fools. You have a chance now to show me that you are not one of them." "My association with Jojo?" "Forget that. He's dead." "I should think his spirit lives on." "If that thought will help us in our fight, then his spirit lives on. But to others, not to us. We know he made mistakes." "I deny that." "Don't insist on making a hero out of a mere man who made mistakes. He thought he could move the empire by the strength of oratory alone, by words." "History shows that words have moved mountains in the past." "Not Joranum's words, obviously, because he made mistakes. He hid his Mycogenian origins far too clumsily. Worse, he let himself be tricked into accusing First Minister Ato Demerzel of being a robot. I warned him against that accusation, but he wouldn't listen, and it destroyed him. Now let's start fresh, shall we? Whatever use we make of Joranum's memory for outsiders, let us not ourselves be transfixed by it." Kaspalov sat silent. The other three transferred their gaze from Namarti to Kaspalov and back, content to let Namarti carry the weight of the discussion. "With Joranum's exile to Nishaya, the Joranumite movement fell apart and seemed to vanish," said Namarti harshly. "It would indeed have vanished but for me. Bit by bit, and rubble by rubble, I rebuilt it into a network that extends over all of Trantor. You know this, I take it."
"I know it, chief," mumbled Kaspalov.
The use of the title made it plain that Kaspalov was seeking reconciliation. Namarti smiled tightly. He did not insist on the title, but he always enjoyed hearing it used. He said, "You're part of this network, and you have your duties."
Kaspalov stirred. He was clearly debating with himself internally, and finally he said slowly,
"You tell me, Chief, that you warned Joronum against accusing the old First Minister of being a robot. You say he didn't listen, but at least you had your say. May I have the same privilege of pointing out what I think is a mistake, and have you listen to me as Joronum listened to you, even if, like him, you don't take the advice given you?"
"Of course you can speak your piece, Kaspalov. You are here in order that you might do so. What is your point?"
"These new tactics of ours, Chief, are a mistake. They create disruption and do damage."
"Of course. They are designed to do that."
Namarti stirred in his seat, controlling his anger with an effort.
"Joronum tried persuasion. It didn't work. We will bring Trantor down by action."
"For how long, and at what cost?"
"For as long as it takes, and at very little cost, actually. A power stoppage here, a water break there, a sewage backup, an air conditioning halt. Inconvenience and discomfort, that's all it means."
Kaspalov shook his head. "These things are cumulative."
"Of course, Kaspalov. And we want public dismay and resentment to be cumulative, too."
"Listen, Kaspalov. The Empire is decaying. Everyone knows that. Everyone capable of intelligent thought knows that. The technology will fail here and there, even if we do nothing. We're just helping it along a little."
"It's dangerous, Chief. Trantor's infrastructure is incredibly complicated. A careless push may bring it down in ruins. Pull the wrong string, and Trantor may topple like a house of cards."
"It hasn't so far."
"It may in the future. And what if the people find out that we are behind it? They would tear us apart. There would be no need to call in the security establishment or the armed forces. Mobs would destroy us."
"How would they ever learn enough to blame us? The natural target for the people's resentment will be the government, the Emperor's advisors. They will never look beyond that."
"And how do we live with ourselves, knowing what we have done?"
This last was asked in a whisper, the old man clearly moved by strong emotion.
Kaspalov looked pleadingly across the table at his leader, the man to whom he had sworn allegiance. He had done so in the belief that Namarti would truly continue to bear the standard of freedom passed on by Jojo Joronum. Now Kaspalov wondered if this is how Jojo would have wanted his dream to come to pass.
Namarti clucked his tongue, much as a reproving parent does when confronting an errant child.
"Kaspalov, you can't seriously be turning sentimental on us, are you? Once we are in power, we will pick up the pieces and rebuild. We will gather in the people with all of Joronim's old talk of popular participation in government, with greater representation. And when we are firmly in power, we will establish a more efficient and forceful government. We will then have a better Trantor and a stronger empire. We will set up some sort of discussion system whereby representatives of other worlds can talk themselves into a daze. But we will do the governing."
Kaspalov sat there irresolute. Namarti smiled joylessly.
"You are not certain? We can't lose. It's been working perfectly, and it will continue working perfectly. The Emperor doesn't know what's going on. He hasn't the faintest notion. And his First Minister is a mathematician. He ruined Joronum, true, but since then he has done nothing. He has something called... Forget it. Jorunum attached a great deal of importance to it, but it was a part of his being Mycogenian, like his robot mania. This mathematician has nothing. Historical psychoanalysis, or something like that. I heard Jorunum once say, "Forget it. Just do your part. You handle the ventilation in the Anemoria sector, don't you? Very well, then. Have it misfunction in a manner of your choosing. It either shuts down so that the humidity rises, or it produces a peculiar odor or something else. None of this will kill anyone, so don't get yourself into a fever of virtuous guilt. You will simply make people uncomfortable and raise the general level of discomfort and annoyance. Can we depend on you?" But what would only be discomfort and annoyance to the young and healthy may be more than that to infants, the aged, and the sick. Are you going to insist that no one at all must be hurt? Kaspalov mumbled something. Namarty said, "It's impossible to do anything with a guarantee that no one at all will be hurt. You just do your job. Do it in such a way that you hurt as few as possible, if your conscience insists upon it. But do it." Kaspalov said, "Look, I have one thing more to say, Chief." "Then say it," said Namarty wearily. "We can spend years poking at the infrastructure. The time must come when you take advantage of gathering dissatisfaction to seize the government. How do you intend to do that?" "You want to know exactly how we'll do it?" "Yes. The faster we strike, the more limited the damage, the more efficiently the surgery is performed." Namarty said slowly, "I have not yet decided on the nature of this surgical strike, but it will come. Until then, will you do your part?" Kaspalov nodded his head in resignation. "Yes, Chief." "Well then, go," said Namarty, with a sharp gesture of dismissal. Kaspalov rose, turned, and left. Namarty watched him go. He said to the man at his right, "Kaspalov is not to be trusted. He has sold out, and it's only so that he can betray us that he wants to know my plans for the future. Take care of him." The other nodded, and all three left, leaving Namarty alone in the room. He switched off the glowing wall panels, leaving only a lonely square in the ceiling to provide the light that would keep him from being entirely in the darkness. He thought, "Every chain has weak links that must be eliminated. We have had to do this in the past, and the result is that we have an organization that is untouchable." And in the dimness he smiled, twisting his face into a kind of feral joy. After all, the network extended even into the palace itself. Not quite firmly, not quite reliably, but it was there. And it would be strengthened.